When we do the background of Ephesians with you, the reason why is we have decided to go through the book of Ephesians. And this is going to take us many months. So I don't want you to be hasty. I don't want you to think that, oh, let's just get through this book and get it over. Because I'm telling you today, that ain't going to happen. Right? We're going to be eating away at the book of Ephesians because it is an amazing book. So when I'm done with you, you will have some background knowledge on the city of Ephesus, their culture, their way of life, the spiritual condition as it was in that city with those people, how the church faced challenges, what the author was, what the background was to writing this book. And then I'm going to show you in some areas how this applies to our life today. So this sermon will be a teaching where I lay a foundation on which you can build on for the months to come. One of our focus points for 2016 was Christ-like character and maturity. And we have decided to delve into the book of Ephesians for that purpose. Because this is a book that will teach us how to live practically, how to behave like a Christian should, and how the church should look and should operate. So the next few Sundays, we will highlight key themes in chapter 1. And if we've done with chapter 1, we will move on to chapter 2. There is much to learn from this book. So I want you to prepare your heart and this mind and your mind because it's going to take us considerable time. Who are we? We are a prophetic, apostolic, prophetic church built on the foundation of prayer. You know that. That's our vision. Our mission is healing, training, and sending. We believe in a lot of things. We believe that the word of the Lord is the truth. And we believe in the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And we believe that we don't leave out some things there. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe in God the Father and Jesus Christ. We believe that Jesus Christ paid the price for us on the cross. And that God saves. But we also believe that God grows and matures us. We believe that God is holy. That's what my gold represents this morning. And the worship team also led us in a couple of songs touching on the glory of the Lord. Do you know how glorious God is? He is a magnificent God. If you have not met the glory of God yet, I want you to make that a prayer. And say, Lord, show me your glory. Reveal to me your glory, who you are in your glorious state. Because if he does that, we will go down on our knees. And we will realize who he is. We believe that the first churches had power. We believe that there were miracles and signs and wonders. People were set free. We sang this morning, freedom. We sang, let the chains go. And God told me this morning, he said, Yvette, it is time that we pack our bags and that we fly light so that we can come to understand the glory of God. The glory of God. So if you want to pack light with me, if you want to fly light with me as we go through the book of Ephesians, I need you to drop your chains because we can only take 20 kilograms. So you have to leave the chains behind. And that is what the book of Ephesians is going to teach us. We believe in the fivefold ministry where the apostle and the prophet, the teacher, the pastor, and the evangelist has a role to play. We believe that we are a new wineskin church, a church that desires to have the power of those first churches. So at this point, you may ask the question, why are we going to study specifically the book of Ephesians? First of all, this book is sometimes called the Alps of the New Testament or the Rolls Royce, the Porsche, meaning the highest peak of spiritual truth and revelation. So that is a good place to start. Secondly, by studying the book of Ephesians, we will learn more about the church, what it's supposed to be like, what it is supposed to look like, what it is supposed to do. And thirdly, how we should behave every day on a daily basis. What we should do in all of our relationships. Ephesians reveals the church as God's masterpiece and us as the stones indwelled by the Holy Spirit. The word of the Lord says that we are living stones. So I want you to be alive. I want God to arise in you so that we can become what we are supposed to be. We will start off by showing you how the book is divided. The book is divided into two parts. First, it's chapter 1 to chapter 3. Chapter 1 to 3. This is the position of the Christian in Jesus Christ. It is our beliefs, it is our doctrine, and it is the truth revealed. And that is our position. So you are going to learn through these following months what your position is in the Lord. The main character of chapter 1 is God the Father. Chapter 2 is Jesus Christ. Chapter 3 is the Holy Spirit. So God is the originator of the master plan that he gives to us in the book of Ephesians. Jesus is the executor of the plan, and the Holy Spirit is the revealer of the plan to us today. As Christians, we can only grow when we understand the truth of God. Chapter 4 to 6 is the practice of the Christians and concludes in the home and daily living concerning our moral, social, marital issues, family relationships, spiritual warfare. So that is our life principles, our practiced behavior, our truth lived out as we practice our Christian living. We can never separate the knowing of the truth from the living out of the truth. We need to practice what we preach, or we shall never grow into Christ-like character and maturity. That is why the book of Ephesians will have grace for us to grow and to go. If the gospel of Christ does not radically change our lives, we need to ask the question, are we truly saved? If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, and nothing in your life has changed, you might have a problem, a serious one, because then you may not be saved. So I want you to talk to God about that one. Because if you tell me that you are saved, that Jesus has paid the price for you, then I need to see the evidence in your life. And not at times, most of the time. Because yes, we're not perfect yet. Ephesians will change our orientation from focusing on being man-centered, us, me, you, into a God-centered perception. It will move the focus from you to God. The book of Ephesians will challenge your perception and the way you think, but also the way you live and the way you behave and act. It will challenge you to radical change and instruct you on how to grow from infancy to maturity. So I've asked Chris and Tasha's permission to discuss Juliet as an illustration. She's six and a half months old. What will you think? What will your reaction be if the following scenario plays off? Chris and Tash is here in church, And Juliet is on the floor and she starts crawling. And Chris jumps up almost hysterically, grabs her, puts her back, lie her down and say, "No, Juliet, don't crawl. You're not allowed to crawl. You must lie on your back and smile. Because you're 6.5 months old, that's what you're supposed to do." What will your reaction be? You will possibly, probably think there's something wrong with Chris. Because there's definitely nothing wrong with the baby. Because she's growing. She wants to grow up. So if he stops her from growing, he is not doing a good job as a daddy. So Father God is your dad. And he is saying, guys and girls, you need to grow. That's what he's saying this morning. If you come and you say, "I never hear God speak." Well, hello. God is speaking to you this morning. And this is what he's saying. He says, it is time, church, to grow up. It is time to start behaving like we're supposed to. It is time to sit up and to start crawling and to stand up and to start walking. It's time to start running the race. It is time. So guys, let's pack our bags. Let's fly light. Because it is time. He saves us. He doesn't leave us the way we are. So if you are still a little tiny baby in the Lord, you've just given your heart to Jesus last week, then it's okay. You're still a baby. But if you've been saved 7 years ago and you still behave like a baby, man, that's not okay. There's a serious problem. And the problem does not lie with your daddy. Because at the age of 7, you should know something. So I want to encourage you. Grow up. It is no shame to be a baby if you were born several months ago. But if you have been in the Lord for a while, it's not okay. Everyone needs to grow up. And it's possible. If it wasn't possible, God would not have told us grow. The essence of the book of Ephesians is to draw our attention to the glory of God. Because in Ephesus, God was not glorified. And I'll explain it to you as I go along. But the gospel changed that city. And in our lives today, there are many areas in which God is not glorified. There is many areas in our community, in our families, and in our city, in our nation, that God is not glorified. We need to change that. We need to allow God to use us as vessels so that that can be changed. Because we need to grow. Remember that we are a work in progress. God promises that he will continuously work on us, chiseling us away. Because in Philippians 1 verse 6, we read the following. And I am convinced and sure of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will continue until the day of Jesus Christ, right up to the time of his return, developing that good work and perfecting and bringing it to full completion in you. God will not leave you the way he found you. He will grow you. He will help you to change into his image. This is not a journey that you're going to take alone. This is one where God is going to be with you every single step of the way. But what do you want? Do you want what God wants for you? Or are you placid? You're just happy to sit and play in your playpen? Or do you want to go where God wants you to be? In many areas in your mind now, I want you to think, where do you need the glory of God? Where do you need God to grow you? I'm sure and I'm convinced that this is coming upon you now. Think and ask God, Lord, help me with this process of transformation. The truth of the matter is this. We lack the glory of God. We lack the fullness of God in our life. We lack the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. We don't understand the master plan of God. And we doubt that God loves us. If that's true for you, then I think we're all in the same boat. Then you will agree with me that we need God desperately. And that's where we come to the pivotal verse that Ephesians is all about. And this is the only other scripture that I'm bringing before you this morning. And it's Ephesians 3, verse 19 to 21. I ask you to read it with me. If you want to look it up in your Bible, you are most welcome. Ephesians 3, verse 19 to 21. I've taken the message, so I am reading from the message. My response is to get down on my knees before the Father, the magnificent Father. Because if we know who He is, if we understand His holiness, you will go down on your knees. Who parcels out all of heaven and earth. This is Paul speaking. He says, I ask Him to strengthen you by His Spirit. Not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength that Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite Him in. And I ask Him that with both feet planted firmly on love, you'll be able to take in, come to know, with all followers of Jesus, the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Reach out and experience the breadth. Test its length. Plumb the depths. Rise to the heights. Live full lives in all your being, full in the fullness of God. God can do anything, you know. Far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us. His Spirit deeply and gently within us. Glory to God in the church. Glory to God in the Messiah in Jesus. Glory down all the generations. Glory through all millennia. Oh yes. Remember that you matter. Remember Pastor Chris last week? He had the revelation that God says, you matter. You matter. But I want to tell you this morning that God matters. That your life in God matters. And it's time for us to move into another dimension. God has the best for you. God has the best dreams possible for you. Do you want that? Is God a priority in your life? Do you desire that? Or is God just last on your list? If you wake up in the morning, is it, good morning, Lord? I love Donna and her family. They wake up and they scream in their house, good morning, Lord Jesus. What do you want us to do for you today? Or do you perhaps remember at 1 o'clock that you have not said good morning to the Lord for the day? Or by the time you get into bed, you're just too tired to pray. You're just too tired to read. Then I'm telling you, if that is your condition this morning, you are not going to go and grow. And I don't want that for you. I want each and every one of you here today to pack your bags with us. I don't want you to stay behind and not grow. Are you tired of being in lack all the time? Are you crying out, Lord, where are you in my situation? When are you going to come through? When are those chains going to fall off? And then I'm telling you this morning, God is here. And he is inviting you to come and to learn about his love for you, his plans. Do you want that? Do you want to grow in the Lord? Let's make that a prayer. Father God, we don't want to be stuck where we are. Lord, we want to grow up. It is time to realize who you are. It is time, Lord, to go in search for your glory. It is time, Lord, that you will reveal yourself to us. It is time, Holy Spirit, that we will experience your supernatural power in our lives. It is time to start moving forward. Holy Spirit, will you help us? Will you teach us? Will you train us? Will you encourage and motivate us? Because we cannot do this on our own. We desperately need you. We need you to intervene in our minds and in our hearts. We need you to change the way we look at things. Father, will you please, through your grace and through your mercy, help us. Please help us. Help us to make you priority in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, please come upon us with your fire. Renew us so that we can start seeing what you see. Help us to come into position. And I ask this corporately in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right, do you want to learn more about Ephesians? Good, here we go. There's your map. Background. Rome is on the left. Then it's the Mediterranean Sea. You'll see Jerusalem is here on the right at the corner. And then there's Ephesus. That was called Asia Minor. And there was a bigger Asia region. Very big, very huge. And that is where Ephesus was. What was it like? It was a large multi-ethnic center of trade, commerce, and culture. It was the capital city of the Roman province of Asia. It was approximately, had a quarter of a million of people living in Ephesus. Except for Rome and Alexandria, it was the largest. It was the third largest capital. In addition to having a significant Jewish congregation and community, Ephesus was home to many different cultures, Greeks, Romans, and other guys from the Mediterranean world. The city was situated on a main route, a trading route, and it had a key harbor, which gives us the picture of Ephesus being a bustling, multicultural city of trade, commerce, culture, entertainment. There was a medical college with renowned doctors and a large public library in Ephesus. This is the library. It was 2-3 stories high and it could contain more than 12,000 scrolls. In all of Asia, it was the largest library of that time in that place. There were numerous shrines and statues. There was an underground sewer system. There were private and public latrines and an outdoor amphitheater which seated 25,000 people. This is the remains. They had a beautiful view. So if you think The biggest one in 2016 in Perth currently seats 60,000 people. They've done pretty well. They've done pretty well. There was affluent homes in Ephesus, the rich people. They boasted amazing split-level constructions, 10,000 square meters. That gives you a house of approximately 925 square meters. That is as big as the multi-million dollar houses down in the Mindari area. Okay, that is a remain. They had no windows, so they had open hallways, but they had hot water, cold water, and their floors were heated because they had clay pipes that they sent hot water through. And they had toilets. They didn't go outside in like in Africa with the long drop. No, they had toilets. Okay. Remember, this was AD 62. You wouldn't actually expect it, but it was there. When you think of Ephesus, don't think of a small, dusty little town with a camel somewhere tied up. That is not the picture. This is not what it looked like. It was something like Perth. It was something like Perth. So have that picture in your mind. The culture in Ephesus was diverse in every way. There were many gods to believe in. They had very low moral beliefs, even perhaps more low than we have today. Tolerance and acceptance were two key words. Does that sound familiar? Does it ring a bell? Okay. As a result, anyone claiming that they have the right God, the only God, and that their God is going to nullify the others, those people were in serious trouble. They were persecuted, and it was treacherous ground to walk on. They could be given up for treason, go to jail, and lose their lives. So this was the challenge that the church faced. They had to penetrate these beliefs. Ephesus was heavily defined and influenced by its daily life by the occult, belief in magic, incantations, and spirit powers. One of their biggest challenges was Artemis. She was the goddess of the moon, of fertility, and of nature and animals. All of the community was built around the influence that Artemis had. Her other name was Diana. The temple was built for her. And this temple was called one of the seven wonders of the Asian world. And people flocked to go and see it. That was what it looked like. It's just a picture of what it looked like. Now today, the ruins are left. In Greek mythology, she was believed to be the daughter of Zeus, and she had a twin called Apollo. Now, statues of Artemis was everywhere. So they had a good business running. Demetrius was one of the silversmiths. So what they did, if you were a tourist, you would probably go to the marketplace and have a little statue and take the statue home. Now, please don't ever do that. Please don't do that. It's not a good thing to have a goddess in your home. But if you lived that time and you didn't know the true God, that was probably what you would be doing. So the temple and the street were strewn by these vendors making these little statues. And then the temple, and all around the temple, they had the priests and the priestesses. And it was immoral behavior. There are some children in the congregation, so adults, if you can just think that what happened there. Inappropriate behavior happened on the corners of the street, there, right in public, in front of everyone. And the more, the merrier. Okay, you know what I'm talking about. Right. So the conduct and the behavior was really, really, really bad. In the temple, prostitution happened. That was what's being said there and being done. As the culture is today, their culture believed that the truth is just a preference. It is something that could be true for you, but it's not necessarily true for me. Does that ring a bell in our Australian culture? This was what the church came up against. This was the atmosphere that they needed to penetrate. When Paul, who is the author of Ephesians, when he was done, when the gospel met Artemis head on, you know what happened? All the profits of all that trade was lost because a riot happened. And when you read the book of Acts, the whole story is explained. This Demetrius was very unhappy because of Paul and the gospel. And he said, "You are destroying my business." So it was taken to the amphitheater and there was a big hoo-ha. And Paul had to actually leave and go to Macedonia for a while and then to Greece and then to Jerusalem. And that was where he was caught and imprisoned at Rome for the first time. But when the gospel was done with this goddess, she did not exist anymore. Because the people destroyed their magic books. They burnt it up in a big fire, thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars worth of books later. And they started serving the true God. This is the picture of Ephesus in that time. We might ask ourselves, in circumstances like that, how could a church stay committed? How did they get it right to still behave Christ-like? How did they get it right to grow? Now, as we move you through the book of Ephesians, we will teach you these secrets. We can learn from them. The culture, it's a lot the same today. It's relevant today. So let us see what we can glean from them. There are no shortcuts to maturity. If you're on board and if you're saying, "Yes, Lord, I want you to teach me maturity. I want you to teach me Christ-like character," then I'm telling you, it's not going to happen overnight. You're not going to lie down in your bed this morning and God's going to come and zap you with his magic wand. And then tomorrow morning when you wake up, you are going to be absolutely awesome. I wish it could be like that. But there is no shortcuts. This is something that we will have to walk out. Hold in mind everything that I'm sharing with you now, because as you read the letter of Ephesians, you will come to understand what they were dealing with. The author was Paul, as I have said, and the date was AD 60 to 62. Paul is writing to this church while he is in Rome. They caught him, he's in jail, but now he's waiting to see King Nero. But because of the fact that he had a lot of freedom, he was under house arrest. He wrote 4 books. He actually wrote, what did he write? He wrote Colossians. Yeah, Colossians, Philemon, Ephesians, and Philippians. Right. And he writes to them. And he's in chains. And I want you to see this. When he wrote the book of Ephesians, he's taking us up to the heavenlies. He's not confounded to the chains on his wrists. His mind knows who he is. He knows and he understands his position. He is in a difficult physical situation. He might die. He might die. It didn't happen that way. He was released and he did go back. And then he was caught a second time and then they put him to death. But this time, he had the freedom to write to the Ephesians because they had a crisis. They had Paul preaching to them for 3 years. He arrived there and he prayed and he preached for 3 months. And then he said, no, this is not a good place in the synagogue. Let me move. There was too much of people hating him. And then he moved to the house of Tyrannus and he preached there for 2 years, every single day, round about 8 hours a day. So guess what? That church was taught well. They were grounded well. They grew up in the time that Paul taught them. So when he writes the book of Ephesians, he doesn't treat them like babies. He's not taking them back to the beginning again. He's speaking high theological words and he's saying, I'm reminding you of your position. I'm reminding you of what I taught you. I want you to keep on walking. I want you to complete and run the race. Now my question is, whether you understand what Paul understood. Spiritual maturity isn't measured by how high we jump in praise, but how straight we walk in obedience. Paul understood that God provided all that we need to live out strong, godly lives on earth with the power of his Holy Spirit. And that he shared in this letter to the Ephesian church as he encourages them to stand firm in the things of God so that all glory would belong to the Lord. Are you willing to learn this? Are you willing to go and to say, Lord, teach me? This is what Paul did when he was in a very difficult, tough situation. He wrote Ephesians and he gave glory to the Lord. He was still able to encourage and to carry other believers. He still believed in the church and the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, my question to you this morning is, when you are in a tough situation, is this your reaction? Are you like Paul? Do you stay focused on the truth? Do you lift your heart and your soul to heaven? Do you seek the Holy Spirit for comfort and strength and encouragement? Do you realize that the attack is from the enemy? And do you stand your ground and do you fight until you overcome? Do you understand what God has saved you from? Or is your reaction that you blame God? That you say, this is just too hard? Maybe I should not be a Christian any longer. Look, it's well with the world out there. Maybe I should go back to the world. Is that what you say? Is that what you think? Do you become angry at God? Say, Lord, why are you not helping me? I don't like you very much anymore. Or you mop. Lord, I know that you don't love me anymore and you don't care for me because you would not never allow this to happen to me. Blah, 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 blah. Well, then it's time to grow up. Then it's time to grow up. And I am speaking just as much to myself as I am to you. But it is time. It is time that we understand that God has a master plan for us. And we find that master plan in the book of Ephesians. And he is going to unfold that for us. We need to come to a place where we understand the glory of God, where we ask him to reveal it to us. We need to understand that we have to make priority for God. We need to understand that the word of the Lord and prayer needs to be priority in our lives. And if we're not there, we need to get there. Because how long is it going to take you to get there? Christ-like character, maturity, is not an optional extra for us anymore. This is our focus point. This is what God told us. We're in May, almost June. We now need to get started with this. My question is, will you allow the Lord to grow you? Will you allow the Holy Spirit to mature you? Because let me tell you, it's not going to be easy. You're going to come to a place where you say, I wish I never told Pastor Yvette it is okay. But don't come and tell me that. Because I'm telling you this morning, I told you so. But I want to see you grow. We want to see you grow. I want to see me grow. Because I don't want to be the same. You know, if people don't see you for a while, and they come to you and they say, oh, you haven't changed a bit. Then I'm like going, that is a big problem. Thank you for telling me that. Because I'm supposed to change. If you see me last week and you see me now you need to see something has changed. Something has grown. I'm not the same anymore. If my preaching has stayed the same as it was a year ago, I'm in big trouble. Am I? I'll be in big trouble. Because I need to grow. I need to change. Now, church, this is what Ephesians is going to give us. We shall all learn together as God uses Ephesians to reveal himself to us as the church and to us as individuals as we learn how to grow in obedience with him. Now, I'm all for it. Now, you need to be all for it too. So I'm now going to ask you that we will prophetically make a stand for the Lord and that we will stand and that we will proclaim this. But if you're not on board and if you're not very sure that you want to pack your bags and fly light with us, rather not stand. Because when we make a commitment unto the Lord, guess what? He's going to take you on your word. And he's going to come in with a mighty power and a display in your life. And it might not be all well at every single moment. Because remember the chiseling? Remember the video that we saw? And God's chiseling away? Ouch! Oh, it's all, oh, ouch. No, Lord, not that. Please don't tackle that area. Oh, no. He's going for exactly that area. All right. So, if you're not sure, sit. And I hope that God will get you to the place where you're sure. But if you're sure, because this is going to be good. This is going to be good. If you're sure that you want to fly light, I want you to stand. I want you to stand. The intercessors invited me last Saturday to go to the church office so that they can pray over me for 15 minutes. Fortunately, Vainan said, it's not just going to be 15 minutes. And I said, no, I assumed it's going to be more. But I want to tell you one thing that happened there. We met God. And the Holy Spirit came. And I really saw God for who he was. I've never had that in my life before. and I've served God for 26 years. I want you to start searching for who God the Father truly is. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I ask that you will fall on your people. And that you will show us who you are. That you will show us your glory. That you will show us the magnificence of the Father. And church, what happened to me is I had this desire to go onto my knees. I had this desire to understand that God is holy. Father, Holy Spirit, I ask that you will be released upon your people now. That you will give us a revelation and an understanding of how glorious you are. Glorious is the name of the Lord. Glorious is His power. Glorious is the price that Jesus Christ has paid. Glorious is your master plan for our lives. Glorious is our position in Jesus Christ. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I ask that you will touch our hearts. I ask that you will touch our minds. I ask that you will touch our spirits now. And that you will pour and reveal unto our spirit man who you are. Your magnificence. So that we can pray as Paul prayed, that I will bow to my knees before the Most High God. Lord, and we declare that you are the holiest of holy. That you are an amazing Father. Father, and we want to journey with you. We want to grow into maturity. We want to develop our Christ-like character through the working of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I ask that you will do that for us. So church, I want you to pray with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I give you permission to teach me, to train me, to shape me into the image of Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior. Chisel away, Holy Spirit. I give you permission. I give you every area of my life where you do not have the glory. I give you permission, Holy Spirit, to help me grow into Christ-like character. And maturity. Holy Spirit, when the going gets tough, I ask that you will remind me that this is for my good. I submit under your authority, Lord, in this process. Make me free and help me to fly light. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.